In the gospel reading today, we hear Pilate asking Jesus point blank, "Are you then a king?" And Jesus says, "I am a king." And he tells him, "For this I was born, for this I came into the world." And you stop and say, "For what? Okay, you're a king, but my kingdom," he said, "is not of this world." So his kingdom is not of this world, and yet it was precisely for this world that he was born, and for that reason that he was born and came into the world. So what does all this mean? Well, in order to understand it, we have to look at what St. Paul tells us in the first reading, because this is what's critical for all of us. St. Paul said that we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light. And so there are two kingdoms. Neither one actually belongs to this world. Both, obviously, are operating in this world, or else we couldn't have been transferred from one to the other. So the kingdom of darkness, obviously, is operative in the world, and it doesn't take a genius to see just how operative it is at this point. But the kingdom of Christ is also operative in this world. And thanks be to God, in his mercy, he has transferred us into that kingdom. But the fact that that kingdom is not of this world, Jesus tells us, is the very reason why the people weren't fighting to save him. It's interesting, for instance, when we look at some of these things that go on in the Middle East, and just the eruption that these people have because you insulted my prophet. It's like, that's a prophet. And they're so upset about this because the kingdom is of this world. And therefore, they are going to be upset about anything that is going to question their kingdom. But Satan's kingdom is not of this world, and neither is our Lord's. And because our Lord's kingdom is not of this world, we recognize that his subjects did not fight to have him turned over, because it is precisely on the cross that his kingship is established. Remember, Jesus is the king not because he is the Son of God, not because he is the creator, as we hear all of those points in the second reading, that all things came to be through him. He is the highest in the universe. He is God. But he is not the king because he is God. He is the king because he is the Redeemer. So isn't it a fascinating thing that in order to be the king of a kingdom that is not of this world, he had to take our humanity to himself. He had to live in this world. He had to be put to death in this world so that his kingdom could be established in this world. But it's not of this world. So when we look back and we remember the angel Gabriel, when he spoke with our Blessed Lady, said regarding our Lord that he will sit upon the throne of his ancestor David. And so once again, we see a kingship that is there. But the throne of David, we might suggest, is of a worldly kingdom. No, it's not. In fact, it's rather interesting, because remember when God spoke to David and told David that he was going to be a king, he said, "There will be a king who will reign upon your throne forever." And yet there were only 53 kings in the entire history of Israel. And by the time that our Lord came along, it had been hundreds of years since there had been a king seated on the throne of David. And so we have to be able to understand what God said to David in a spiritual way, not in a physical way. not in a kingdom of this world, as the kingdom of Israel was, but the kingdom of heaven. And so the throne of David, upon which our Lord sits forever, in fulfillment of what God spoke to David, in fulfillment of what the angel Gabriel spoke to our Blessed Lady, that throne is not of this world. That kingship is not of this world. Now, again, we look at it and say, well, how can you say that? Again, David was a king of a kingdom in this world. Ask yourself what happened just a few years before that. From the beginning of Israel up until 30 years, 40 years before King David, God was the king of Israel. There was no human king. God was the king. But remember what the people said? We do not want God as our king. Wow. We do not want God as our king. Go back 500 years before that. And what did the people say to Moses? We do not want to hear the voice of God ever again. You talk to him and then you tell us what he said, but we do not want to hear the voice of God. What a tragedy. Now fast forward it again and they're now saying we don't want God to be our king. We want to be just like everyone else. These are the chosen people of God. They didn't want to be the chosen people of God. They wanted to be just like everyone else. And in order to be just like everyone else, they needed a human king. And even though God told them exactly what would happen if they had a human king, they said, "We don't care. We want a human king." So yes, in the immediate, God gave them a human king, and it was a tragedy. David was decent, obviously, and Hezekiah and Josiah were the only other two that were decent out of 53. Not a real good record, but they wanted a human king. And so God gave us a human king. But that human king is God, who took our human flesh in the womb of his mother. And he came to claim what is rightfully his. The throne that the people of Israel rejected, the throne which was God's that they said, we don't want God to be our king. But then they rejected the human kings because they were so horrible. Now what did they have? Nothing. And so it was in the midst of that nothingness that our Lord came into this world and fulfilled exactly what was from the beginning and fulfilled what the people requested. And fulfilled at the same time what God had promised to David. God is the king. We have a human king who happens to be the same person. He sits upon the throne of David forever. So all three of those in one person, all happening simultaneously. So now it comes right back to us. We have been baptized into the Lord Jesus, each and every one of us. We are a member, each one of us, of Jesus Christ. So do we want Jesus to be our king? I mean, let's ask this seriously. Do you want Jesus Christ to be your king. I don't mean he's going to topple the President of the United States and he'll be our king reigning in Washington, D.C. Oh, that'd be pathetic. Why would we ever want to do that to him? I'm talking about reigning in our hearts. I'm talking about being subjects of the kingdom of light, because we were taken from the kingdom of darkness and we've been transferred into the kingdom of light. And you will notice that St. Paul does not make anything in between. It's darkness or it's light. Those are the choices we have. And the Prince of Darkness is going to promise you all kinds of things if you allow me to be your king. All this is yours. Just bow down and worship me. I'll give you all of this. And what was he even willing to give Jesus? All the kingdoms of the world. Big deal. Guess what's going to happen to the world one day? It's going to be gone. Literally gone. It isn't going to exist anymore. So who wants to be the king of something that doesn't even exist? You see, it's not of this world. That's exactly what Satan is offering you and me. Oh, you can have this pleasure. Oh, you can have this fun. You can have this excitement. You can have this money. You can have this power. You can have this reputation. You can, whatever it is that you want, he is more than happy to offer it to you, as long as it's something that is selfish. That's why the question needs to be asked, do you really want Jesus Christ to be your king? Because most of us, let's be honest, yes, we have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light, but we keep looking back. Exactly what Jesus told us not to do. If you put your hand on the plow and keep looking back, you are not fit for the kingdom. What kingdom? The kingdom of Jesus Christ. Why would you want to keep looking back? Oh, what Satan was offering me was so good? Really? I mean, how pathetic can we be? Isn't this exactly what happened when the people of Israel were brought out of slavery? Oh, but if we could just go back to Egypt, we had leeks and melons and cucumbers back then. Yeah, you'd rather go back and be a slave for a little bit of pleasure than to have the freedom of the children of God. Think about that. Think about what Satan is offering you, because what he is always offering you is in the immediate. He doesn't offer you anything for the future, it's the immediate. Because if he offered you what he can for the future, it's going to be the kingdom of darkness for eternity. And that's where he wants to lead us, because that's where he's the king. But unfortunately, our world has chosen him to be the king. And so it's doing his bidding. It's doing his advertising. It's proclaiming their king. And because it's on the TV and on the radio and on the billboards and on the computer and on everything else, it's quite a temptation for us. Oh, but that sounds so good. And what does Jesus offer me? Well, I can sit on his throne right next to him. Right. There's his throne right up there. His throne on earth, that is. In order to sit with him on his throne in heaven, you have to be willing to sit with him on his throne on earth. And what was it that they wrote right above his head? The King of the Jews. Why was he on that throne? Why did he have a crown on his head? Because he is the king. Because they wanted a human king. because they rejected God as their king. So we have a king. Do we want him? Are we willing to sit on that throne? Are we willing to wear his crown? Are we willing to have that title above our heads? Oh, see, we like the idea of being in heaven, but we want to play footsie with hell. How stupid can we be? Oh, let me just play with Satan over here. Fire isn't going to burn me. Come on. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want Jesus as your king? Yeah, he's not offering you riches and ease and comfort and fun and excitement. He's offering you eternal life. He's offering you freedom from sin. He's offering you the freedom of the children of God. But what do? We say, oh, no, no, no. I just want to be like everyone else. They chose Satan. Why do you want to be like everyone else? If they don't want to serve the Lord, why do you want to be like them? So let's ask the question again. Do you really want Jesus Christ to be your king? I mean, really? Of course I want Jesus to be my king. Yeah, that's kind of fun. That's cute. I like it. No, it's not cute. We're talking about let's change our lives and make Jesus Christ the king of our lives. Let's live our life for our king. But therefore, it's not a kingdom of this world. It is in this world, but it's not of this world. But if we're going to choose him to be our king, then we have to live as children of the light. That means we have to reject the darkness. It means we have to put the darkness behind us. It means that we have to live according to who we are. If he's our king, then we have to be his subjects. It's a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of justice. It's a kingdom of righteousness. Is that what we want? That's not what our world is about. Because our world has chosen Satan for their king. Because they didn't want God to be their king. Nor did they want the human king that they got. So they chose a different king. So what are we going to do? Are we going to say, I do not want Satan to be my king? Or are we going to say, I do not want God to be my king? Those are the only two options that you have. Oh, I'll be my own king. I'll let so-and-so be my king. Then you've chose Satan. So it's one or the other. I keep pointing this out over and over again. There will be no in-between. That's where all of us seem to like to be. It's the human problem, where we don't have to make a decision. Do you want Satan to be the king? Do you want Jesus to be the king? I don't know. Isn't that exactly what the people of Israel did? Elijah brings them all out because they're all worshiping Baal. And he says, all right, if Baal is Lord, serve him. If the Lord is God, serve him. And what did the people do? Oh, we don't know. Yeah, just like a modern day America. We just want to be in the middle. We just want to be lukewarm. We don't want to make a decision. Then you're making a decision. You've chosen Satan. So let me ask you again. Do you really want Jesus Christ to be your king? You have to choose it. He's not going to force himself on you. You have to choose it. means we have to open our hearts. We have to let him in. We have to let him reign in our hearts, because he needs to be the king of our lives. Or make it purely subjective, he needs to be the king of my life. Yes, he is the king of the whole universe. And even the souls in hell for all eternity are going to have to acknowledge that. But that's not going to get them out. So if we really don't want to be there, then we need to reject the kingdom of Satan. And we need to choose the kingdom of Christ. That is imperative for every one of us. So make the choice. Make it carefully. And make it with your whole heart. Because every soul in heaven has already done that. The good angels have already done that. People on earth, they say they don't want God to be their king. They don't want Jesus to be their king. So, do we want to fit in? Do we want to be like everyone else? Or do we want Jesus Christ to be our king?